Feel like you're stumbling around in the dark when it comes to your relationship with Christ? Then I would invite you to join us for the next few minutes as we go to God's Word for focus and direction. Abounding Grace with Pastor Chris Gordon is next. Join us. Hello. Welcome to Abounding Grace, the ministry of United Reformed Church here in Linden, located at 8650 Benson Road. We would invite you to join us as our teacher and pastor, Chris Gordon, refers us back to God's Word once again that we might find our grounding in Christ, our encouragement, and our strength to go on day by day in Him. With this edition of Abounding Grace, here's Pastor Chris.
Well, Matthew chapter 7, Jesus gives a strong call in the middle of the Sermon on the Mount with these words, "Enter by the narrow gate, for wide is the gate, and broad is the way that leads to destruction. And there are many who go in by it, because narrow is the gate, and difficult is the way which leads to life, and there are few who find it." That really is a jolting call in so many respects. Because if you look at the real content, we rehearsed this yesterday on Abounding Grace, if you look at the real content of the Sermon on the Mount, there's nothing easy about it. The sermon starts off early in the sermon, unless you have a righteousness that exceeds the righteousness of the scribes and the Pharisees, you're not going to enter heaven. The implication is you're going to go to hell. So unless your life is better than what you know to be the most moral, upright, outstanding life in this world, look at the most outstanding religious person, you'll never make it. He goes on, "You say you've never murdered? Well, if you let something go unreconciled," he says, "with your brother, so that there's anger in your heart, you're in danger of the hellfire. Any of you who have looked at lust this past week at a woman, you're an adulterer. And if you have that problem, well, Jesus says you better cut out your eye, because that would be far better than having your whole body cast into the hellfire. And watch out for divorce. You do it for any reason except sexual immorality, you're an adulterer. You want to know how requiring the second table of the law is? Jesus says to love your neighbor as yourself. Well, that means you're going to have to love your enemies. Anyone who persecutes you, you will bless. Therefore," right, "if you're going to take up this name Christian, be perfect, as your heavenly Father is perfect." Then he goes on and confronts all their false religion. "Remember, you guys are always looking at the speck in your brother's eye, but forgetting the plank in your own. You hypocrites, remove the plank. I know your fastings, your prayers, and your giving is to be done for others to see. I tell you, do it as if your right hand did not know what your left is doing. Go into the closet, close the door, then pray. Then you'll have reward. Further, you think you can serve God and mammon? Don't lay up your treasures here. You can't serve two masters. Why are you worrying about your life? You're not in control of anything. Seek first the kingdom of God and His righteousness. And finally, you want to know how to live? Whatever you want men to do to you, do also to them." Now, the constant contrast in the Sermon on the Mount is not a contrast between belief and unbelief. It's a contrast between a religion of human achievement and that of divine. This is a crushing sermon, my friends. This is the greatest sermon ever preached. And do you hear anything like this today being preached? What Luther called the theology of the cross, right in this great contrast, something that God does, is contrasted here with a theology of glory. And Jesus says, if you want to climb your way up to me by your own efforts and by your own works, here it is. Here's what you got to do perfect. You got to be perfect as the Heavenly Father is perfect. Jesus is really saying here, all of your efforts are condemned, and they're consigning you all to hell. You know, this is really just an all-out assault, as one pastor said, on the kind of religion we create. So what Jesus is doing now in the center of this message is basically saying it's decision time. You have a choice. Here it is. Enter the narrow gate. The interesting thing here is that the first thing mentioned is the gate, and then the way follows. He says in verse 14, "Because narrow is the gate, and difficult is the way which leads to life." So the visual we're given is this. There's this little narrow gate to entrance in God's kingdom. And once you enter that gate, the way to life is difficult. Boy, that's not the kind of thing we like to hear. The word for narrow means constricting here. Enter through this constricting gate. You get the mental picture of what John Bunyan described years ago when he described trying to enter the kingdom. When he said, I saw a little door in the side of a mountain where I kept coming to the door and I couldn't get in. I had to go back and shed off some of my clothing, and it was so exacting. Finally, he says, I was totally naked and I was able to squeeze my head through and then my shoulders, and pushing hard, my body went through to the other side and there was no going back. So here's Jesus. Decision time. You have to enter this kingdom to heaven by this narrow, constricting gate. Gate here pictures the gate of the heavenly temple. So then putting this together, there's nothing easy about entering the kingdom. I know we've all chalked up Christianity in our day as something easy. Agree to a few questions in front of a church, walk an aisle, say a prayer, sign on a dotted line, get a sacrament, just do this. And we feel comfort that from that point on, Christianity's just easy business. I made the moment's decision. My friends, it's the most constricting thing you'll ever face. What is Jesus saying here? Remember in John 10? In John 10, Jesus describes this. Most assuredly, I say to you, he who does not enter the sheepfold by the door, but climbs up some other way, the same as a thief and a robber. But he who enters by the door is the shepherd of the sheep. He who enters by the door, he says, is the shepherd. Now listen to what he does. This is verse 7 of John 10. Most assuredly, I say to you, I am the door of the sheep. All who ever came in before me are thieves and robbers, but the sheep did not hear them. I am the door. If anyone enters by me, he will be saved and will go in and out and find pasture. You hear what he just did? He changed the metaphor from shepherd to the door. He's the door through whom eternal life is received. And this was the basis upon which Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man comes to the Father except through me. I'm the entrance into the kingdom. What John 10 said is that anyone who tries to climb up some other way into the kingdom is a robber. That's a direct connection to what Jesus says is the broad way. Now, if the contrast, as we have seen, is not between believer and unbeliever, but between true religion and false religion, then what we have is a contrast of two gates, both of which say this is the way to life. Both are marked eternal life. There's never been a false religion that says this is the way to hell. And Jesus makes this contrast then between this constricting gate and this broad gate. The word gives the sense of wide, open. The way is pleasant to pass through. It's delighting. It's inviting. It's easy to walk. Now, Jesus is saying there's a narrow gate and an open gate, a wide gate. Now, let me be as narrow and intolerant and constricting and condemning as Jesus is here. Any religious system that is not obsessed with the problem of sin and does not totally renounce man as vile, with no ability to save himself, totally cast upon the mercies of the Lord, has been confronted with a pleasant, open, and wide gate. In other words, that means that every false religion, I don't care what it is, whether it's Mormon, Jehovah's Witness, Roman Catholic, even so-called Christian, everyone who's trusting in his own works, whether it's a Muslim making a pilgrimage to Mecca or a Christian scientist, it could be anyone, anyone who's looking to himself. What they have in common is that they are all in a system of human achievement, human righteousness that will never stand the scrutiny of what God's righteous demands require. They are traveling through a gate marked heaven that is wide, with many ways and many paths to God, as we all hear today. Now, this is what Jesus is saying. I'm it. This is narrow. I didn't say it. Jesus said it. Time for decision. You have to enter through me. Jesus Christ is the only way to heaven. He's the only way anyone can be saved. He says, I'm it here. There's no other way. There's no other name. There's no other gate. There's no other door. No man enters, Jesus says, except through me. Boy, that's pretty exclusive, isn't it? That's a radically exclusive claim. And now you see we're getting to the great issue of the Sermon on the Mount. The great issue of the Sermon on the Mount is simply, is fallen man able to attain to this holy standard? The standard that Jesus laid, be perfect as God is perfect, as your heavenly Father is perfect. Jesus said that right in the middle of the sermon. Tell me what's easy about that. You see, now Jesus makes another contrast. Not only is the gate narrow and constricting of entering the kingdom, but the whole way of eternal life is difficult. Boy, that's not something you ever hear from false teachers. And that is why Jesus contrasts it by saying, you want the way to eternal condemnation? Here it is. It's spacious, it's roomy, it's easy to walk, it's comfortable to walk. It won't press about your life. It won't confront your sin. You can feel real uplifted. And it's always been the key mark of a false prophet to say something different to make light of the gate as not being constricting. I mean, it's no coincidence that just following this in verse 15, Jesus says, beware of false prophets who come to you in sheep's clothing, but inwardly they are ravenous wolves. You will know them by their fruits. They give you a Christianity that's easy, that is non-requiring. Look, I just heard the other day the top evangelical leader in this land say, it's not hard to be a Christian, it's fun. Smooth words and flattering speech. There's nothing easy about this. Jesus says the way to eternal life is difficult. What do I mean by that? Remember his gospel call? Now great multitudes went with him, and he turned and said to them, if anyone comes to me and does not hate his father and mother, wife and children, brothers and sisters, yes, and his own life also, he cannot be my disciple. And then he goes on at the end of that to say, so likewise, whoever of you does not forsake all that he has cannot be my disciple. You know why Jesus is doing this, my friends? It's not so that we would think, well, if I just buck up and do better, I'll enter the kingdom. The issue is he's bringing an end to sinners of themselves that they might fall on their knees and repent and look outside of themselves for a righteousness that will stand the scrutiny of God's ultimate and beautiful justice. That is the righteousness that exceeds the scribes and the Pharisees. We need his righteousness, and he's the only way. He's the narrow and constricting gate. We must look to him alone to find salvation. My friends, have you trusted in this Jesus who is the narrow way?
Opening up the Word of God that we might let its light shine into our hearts and minds. This has been Abounding Grace with Pastor Chris Gordon from United Reformed Church here in Linden. We know your time is valuable, and to carve out a few minutes for us means a great deal to us. We thank you for spending time with us. If you would like to contact us here at Abounding Grace, we'd love to hear from you. Your letters of encouragement, your questions, comments, prayer requests. That would mean so much to us to know that you're partnering with us in a prayerful manner such as this. Our desire is to see you grow in Christ, and that's what we've made ourselves available for. 360-318-0429 is our phone number. Again, 360-318-0429. You can also find us on the web, lindenurc.com. A lot of information there about who we are and what we believe. In fact, if you would like to join us for worship, we'll have a map there for you. We meet at 8650 Benson Road here in Linden, Washington. Sunday services, 10 a.m. and 7 p.m. Again, the directions can be found at lindenurc.com or give us a call, 360-318-0429. As always, it's a real privilege and a pleasure spending time with you here in God's Word, and we look forward to the next opportunity that we'll have to spend time with you once again in God's Word. Until then, God bless.